We thank all of you for being here this morning. I was trying to figure out really what David meant by stretching your legs. If he thought this was going to be a long, enduring sermon, you're exactly right. Sometimes you get a little suspicious of folks. I heard about a woman the other day who went to see her mechanic, Mike, of all things. And anyway, she said she thought that her mechanic was trying to pull one over on her until he said, "All I needed was some blinker fluid." We are glad that all of you are here. If you're visiting with us today, we hope that you'll come again. Always great to see guests in our audience. And we hope and trust that all of those who are ill will be back with us soon. This morning we want to talk about our theme this year right here at Crockett Road, and that is the future is bright if we follow the light. You know, you and I do have a bright future, those of us who are children of God. I'm glad that when we leave this world, we're going to a better place, and that place is called the throne of God. And how wonderful it will be to know that when we leave this world, that we're going into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can tell you this morning that Jesus really is the light. He is. In the book of Matthew 5, beginning in verse 14, Jesus said that ye are the light of the world. You and I, as God's people, are lights in a world of darkness. And we know that our world is filled with darkness today. We look all around us and we just see the sin that has engulfed our society and how corrupt and how evil the world has really become. But you and I are that lighthouse. We are those who ought to be radiating that light of Jesus Christ our Lord. And in actuality, we're doing the same thing that the moon does every night. You and I are not radiating our own light, but we are reflecting the light, the greater light, who is Christ. And just as that sun gives light to the moon, you and I are to give light to the world that is engulfed in spiritual darkness. Jesus said that you are a city that is set upon a hill. What Christ actually had reference to was the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was located on a hill. And he said, you are a city that is set upon a hill that cannot be hid. And he says, so let your light shine before the world that they might see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Matthew chapter 5. You and I must radiate that light. We know also that the Bible says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. No, but they put it on a candlestick that it may give light to all that are in the house. You know, many of us light our fire, spiritually speaking, and then we begin to cover it. And we don't want people to know that we're Christians. We're afraid to let the world know that we belong to God and that we really are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Christ said that we are to put our light on a lampstand, that it gives light to all that are in the house and even in the world as well. He says, let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works. You know, you don't have to tell people about your good works. A lot of people do. A lot of people are always extolling their virtues and telling people how righteous they are and how wonderful they are. But I want you to look at this passage again. It said, let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works. If your life does not bear testimony by what people see that you belong to Christ, then something is wrong in your life. If they can't see Jesus living in you, then we need to go back to the book once again and analyze where we are spiritually speaking. Do you realize that Jesus has grieved over the sins of the world? He is grieving even now as he looks at the world that is engulfed in what we call the sin and the filth of the world. Sometimes people think that God is demotionalized. Not true. Some people believe that God does not have any emotions at all. And yet we know that heaven rejoices. We know that heaven even weeps. The Bible says over in the Old Testament that it grieved God at his heart that he had made man whom he had created. Jesus looked out over that city of Jerusalem, the Bible says, and he was grieved at his heart because of their sin and their iniquity. And I can tell you today that Christ is grieved by the sin of the world. Luke chapter 19. For the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For those who continue to persist in their sin instead of following the light, the Bible tells us that the end result will be death and separation from Almighty God. But I'm thankful today that God is willing to forgive us. I'm thankful that He is providing for us a mansion in heaven. I'm not just talking about a dwelling place, but He's going to give us a mansion. And if you were to read in the book of John, the 14th chapter and verse 1 and 2, Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you." Some translations actually translate that phrase from the Greek, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places." But when I think about standing in the presence of Almighty God, I think about standing in a mansion. I think about the grandeur and the awe of standing before God. How majestic that is really going to be. "In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you, but I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare that place, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So God wants us to lift up Jesus. He wants us to radiate the light of Christ. In 2 Corinthians, however, chapter 4, beginning in verse 3, the Bible tells us that the gospel is sometimes hid. And listen, Paul writes, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." It never was the intention, as I said a moment ago, that God wants us to light our fire spiritually and then put it under a bushel, but on that candlestick that He gives light to everyone. And the Bible teaches that sometimes people hide the light of the gospel. Have you ever been around people who would read the gospel and say, "Well, I know that's what it says, but I just don't believe that"? How irrational can we be, brethren? How irrational can we think, "I know that's what the Bible teaches, but I just don't believe what it says. I'm going to chart my own course. I'm going to prepare for my own future." You know what? I'm not interested in preparing for my future. I want to follow God's future for me. And I'm not going to hide the gospel. But sometimes people hear the word of God, they even see it, and that word just goes in their mind and they do not grasp it at all. But Jesus said, "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." Listen to the rest of it. "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." Do you realize, you know who the God of the world is? He's not talking about Jehovah God, that's a little g. And if you were to go to the New Testament, you'd find that to be true. But He's talking about Satan himself. You see, what happens when you hear the word of God, the devil is constantly trying to snatch it out of your mind. And when you see it, he is trying to cloud your vision where you cannot understand it at all. And what a tragedy that men fall prey to the evil one. But he is constantly trying to confuse us and draw us away from the true light. Notice what he says. "Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." You know, there have always been various reactions to the light. There are. You know, when you're talking about this, sometimes people look at that light and squint. Sometimes it doesn't bother them to look at it at all. Some people like light, some people like darkness. I've heard people say, "Well, I like a cloudy day." Others who say, "I like a bright sunshiny day." Do you know there are all kinds of reactions to the light of the gospel? In the book of Acts chapter 7 and verse 57, the Bible teaches us that some men will close their eyes to the light. They do. They refuse to hear the word of God or even see it or read it. That's one reaction they have. But in Acts chapter 13 and verse 45, some will contradict that light and blaspheme that light. They do, just as they did Jesus. In the book of Acts chapter 17 and verse 32, some will even mock. They will mock the truth of God, which is the light. But the Bible says in the book of, listen, in the book of Galatians chapter 6, brethren, listen, God is not mocked. He is not mocked. Some men will be enraged by that light. Why, how dare God expose our sin? How dare God call us vile and sinners because they love darkness better than light? There are other reactions that people have to the light as well. Some men will raise their voice against the light. Do you know that there are some people who would like to silence my voice this morning? And I'm telling you the gospel truth. There are some who would like to silence the voice of those who herald the message of Jesus Christ our Lord. That's a reaction that men have to it. Some will pervert the light of God's word. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 7. And Paul says, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which has been preached unto you, let him be anathema or let him be a curse. Some men will distort and obscure the word of God. I'm astounded sometimes at people who read the Bible and even get up and teach it. And they read that Bible and then they begin to explain it away. And even when they talk about the church, they say, well, I know what the Bible says about the church and Jesus is the Savior of the church, but it's not really necessary and imperative that you be in the body. But the book of Ephesians chapter 5 says that he is coming for the body. I want to be in the body. I don't know about you. There are some who distort the truth about baptism into Christ for the remission of sin. There are some who say all you have to do is believe, even though they read the words of Jesus Christ who says in the book of Mark 16, verse 15 and 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. There are those who come back and say, well, I know it says that, but I believe all you have to do is just believe in Jesus. And if you believe in Jesus, then you're going to be saved. Well, that's irrational if the word does not teach that. There are some men who distort and obscure the word. There are those who will be offended by the word of God as well. The rich young ruler who had great wealth was offended by what Christ had to say. When he came to Jesus and wanted to know how he could enter into life, into this heaven of heaven, this glorious place. For the Christian when he leaves this world. And Jesus said, keep the commandments. And he said, I've done this from my youth up. And he says, yes, but there's one thing you lack. Go and sell what you have and give to the poor and come and follow me and you'll have treasure in heaven. And the Bible says that the young man went away sorrowful for he had great wealth. Do you know there are some people today that are offended by the word of God? They are. For the Bible says, for we preach Christ and not ourselves. We preach the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says. We don't preach ourselves, but we preach the Lord Jesus Christ. That we are servants of God. Some people misinterpret that. The idea that we are called celebrities in the kingdom. That we are called saints in the kingdom. But the Bible calls us the servants of God. If Jesus taught anything at all, and brethren, he taught this, that you and I are to serve in the kingdom. And a man that does not have time to serve in the kingdom has grossly misunderstood what Christ has to say. You are not following the light, not the light of Jesus, but you are following a dark light, a dim light, a foggy light. For God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. And he has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought about the fact that the first commandment of God is that which is found in the book of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3? Listen to this. It is the first commandment of God. Let there be light. You know why God did that? Jesus too, by the way. He was with him when he created the world, John chapter 1, verse 1, and following nothing was made without him. Do you know why he commanded light? It's because he knew that mankind could not live without light. God did it in the right way. Man gets things all confused. Man would have created man and then let's say, hey, you know what? We need a light. But God didn't do that. The Bible says that God created light, the first commandment of all. We could not exist without light. You couldn't exist without light. I couldn't exist without light. And you know what? In a very spiritual way, we can't exist without the light, spiritually speaking. We cannot. Not at all. Well, as I mentioned, there's some who will not follow the light. How are people blind anyway? Have you ever wondered about that? And I'm talking about spiritual blindness. I'm not up here alluding to people that are physically blind. Pray God for such people. Jesus was so touched that he opened the eyes of those who were blind in the book of John chapter 9. But I'm talking about people who have chosen to be blind. How are they blind? Well, according to 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, the Bible says that many of them choose to close their eyes. Listen to this. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are only spiritually discerned. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13, the Bible refers to some as such as false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. They did it, not God. And notice, if you will, what Paul says. And he says, in no marvel. He says, there are some that come to us in sheep's clothing, yet inwardly they're ravening wolves. And notice what he says, there's no marvel here. He says, for even, listen to this, even Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. You see, the picture that we have of the devil is not, biblically, is not that picture of that beastly looking character that's running around in a red suit with horns on his head. Now you may know someone like that. I don't know. I've seen some people I thought looked like that. But that's not the picture of the devil. With a long tail, you would run from someone like that, wouldn't you? Sure you would. I heard about a revival they were having one time Some kids had decided that they were going to pull a trick. And this was an old Brush Arbor meeting they were having, you know, where they met under a thrashed kind of an arbor sort of thing. And it wasn't a building like this. And they were all outside. And for some reason at the back, there were two older teenagers who decided that they would get up on top of that edifice there, that building. And right in the big middle of the sermon, then one of them would jump down in what he called the devil suit, you know, the horns, the red suit, the long tail and everything. And when he did, the preacher just ran and everybody else ran. And there was a little old man who was sitting up at the front. And the so-called devil walked up to him and he said, "Hey, mister, do you know who I am?" And he said, "Yeah, I know who you are." And he said, "Well, I'm the devil. Don't you know that?" And he says, "Yeah, I know that." And he said, "Aren't you afraid of me?" And he says, "Not in the least." And he said, "Well, why not?" And he said, "Because I've been married to your sister for 40 years. There are some people who are not fearful of the demonic spirits in our world. But they are there. And I can tell you that Satan will transform himself into an angel of light to appear very beautiful to distort your mind. He is one that reads the word. He knows the word, by the way. He quoted it unto Jesus when he was being tempted. The Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 4, immediately after his baptism. And he quoted it unto Jesus, but he wouldn't take it out of context. And that's exactly what the devil does. He does. He tries to blind us by transforming himself. You know what? If you and I put out the light, then we should not complain about the darkness. And there are many people in our world who do. You know, in actuality, some of us have switched the light off in our lives. We have. Now, if your light is not burning this morning, you may be like these. You may be walking in darkness. You may be doing it, and you're doing it intentionally because you have flipped the switch in your life. And there is only one who can ever change that, and that is you. You can flip it back on. Well, let's talk briefly about the purpose of light. Why did Jesus use this analogy? Well, number one, one of the purposes of light is that it illuminates. It illuminates everything in this building this morning. If you were to turn the lights out and close all these windows off, it'd be dark in here. Now, I realize that some of you can sleep even with a light on. I understand that. But for some folks, they have to turn the light out. The purpose of light is that it illuminates. In the book of Psalms 119, verse 105, David said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway." A light unto my pathway. The light illuminates a lot of things. It illuminates, think about it, it illuminates the wrong as well as it illuminates the right. You see, the reason for that, let me tell you the reason for that. God illuminates the wrong so you can know that you're wrong. He illuminates those things that are evil to warn you not to be involved in them. He illuminates all of that sin that you may not participate in it. But then on the other hand, he illuminates the things that are right. He illuminates his word that you may know it and that you may obey it. In John 8 and verse 12, Jesus, the Bible says, "I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness," listen to it, "but shall have the light of life." Jesus lights up this world around us. He does. We see Jesus in the world today. Even though we see all the corruption and the evil, I'm going to tell you there's a greater light that's shining right now, and that is Jesus Christ our Lord. And it is because of that light that God allows this world to stand, folks. And we must remember that. Have you ever thought about Jesus being the light? He is a light. Isaiah said, "I've seen the great light." Even when they announced his coming, they announced it with a light, a star, and angelic forces from heaven speaking unto angels that were abiding in the field. And when Jesus died on the cross, and because of the evil, the Bible says that darkness engulfed the earth. But it was on a sunny Sunday morning, on the first day of the week, that the light did shine again when Jesus came forth from the tomb. And when he ascended into heaven, two men stood by him in white apparel, glowing apparel. And think about it. If you were to read the book of Revelation, the closing chapters, the Bible says that in heaven they don't need the sun anymore. They don't need the moon anymore. For the sun, the S-O-N, that is Jesus, gives light to all of heaven. He is the Son of God. What a wonderful thought. But there's another purpose. Another purpose of light. And that is that light is that which guides us. It does. You know, we wouldn't know where to go without light, would we? Especially if you're walking in darkness. And Jesus said that men don't have to walk in darkness now, for Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." But the light guides us. Listen again to what David said. "Your word is a lamp to my feet." That is right here where I'm standing. That's where the light is, right here. But he says it's not only right at my feet. He said, listen, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my pathway." Where I need to walk. Not only where I'm walking, but where I will walk in the future. That's what he says. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. It shows me where to walk. And that's why Christ in the book of Matthew 7 verse 13 said, strive to enter at the straight gate, for straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads unto life. And few there be that find it, but broad is the way and wide is the gate that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Isn't it interesting that heaven is called the city of light and hell is called the place of outer darkness? That's not by accident. But there's another purpose of light, and that is it communicates. It communicates unto us the power of Almighty God, first of all. Think about the majestic power of God, what God can do from heaven. I mean, he can make the lightning strike. I mean, he can bring the rain from the heaven. And God, with one little movement of his finger, can stop the universe and turn it on its axis. And God can bring the farce that we call life to an end. He can stop your heart with a word. He can make sure you draw your last breath with his own breath, with a whisper from heaven. The gospel, the light, communicates unto us what God wants us to do, how we are to get ready for the coming judgment. Audrey and I had the opportunity this last week to speak at the Fort Worth Lectures. Now, what a great event it was in Fort Worth. And I had the opportunity to speak on the subject, the coming judgment of God. I'm telling you, folks, there is coming a judgment, a day of reckoning, when all men shall stand before the great judge of the earth, Acts chapter 17, John chapter 5, Revelation chapter 20, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Romans chapter 14, verse 1 and 2. And every one of us will give an account before God for what we've done, for how we have lived, to a powerful, majestic, almighty, eternal God. But there's another purpose of light. And that is, light warns us. Warning lights. You see them on the dashboard of your car. You see them on the highway. Do not enter. Do not enter. It always amazed me. How people can just go beyond warning lights. I heard about a man and his friend who were driving down the highway one day. And they were driving and they came up on this big light, this big warning light, and this barricade that says, do not enter. Warning, do not enter. Dead end. And the man driving the car told his friend, he said, hey, I'm going to go around this. And so anyway, the man said, oh man, you're crazy. It says dead end. You know, don't do that. This is crazy. He said, I've done it before. It's okay. Don't worry about it. So anyway, the man just goes around that barricade and around that warning sign. And he goes on down for about 10 miles and he comes to what we call that dead end. Nowhere to go. And he's really embarrassed about it. But he turns his car around and he comes back. And when he comes back close to where that sign was that warned him not to enter, on the backside of that sign, it said, welcome back, stupid, didn't we tell you? You know, I have to think that someday in the hour of judgment, when we stand before God and he is going to say, didn't I warn you? Didn't I tell you? Jesus does warn us. Throughout the gospel, there's one warning right after another. And again, he says, this is a warning. Strive to enter at the straight gate. Make sure you get on the right track. Don't get on the road that leads to hell, but get on the road that leads to heaven. And he says in the book of Matthew 7, in verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Jesus warns us. Do you realize that many people will go to hell and bypass the warning of Christ? Many will go to hell. For whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You don't hear too much preaching on hell today. You don't hear a lot of sermons on that subject. It's not a very pleasant thought, first of all, to think that some people are going to be lost and that they will climb over the precipice and they will go beyond the warning sign of Jesus and they choose to be lost in a burning hell. For in Revelation chapter 20, the Word of God says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Hell is real, whether you believe it or not. But there are many like that fellow who chose to go beyond the barricade. And he chose to go beyond the warning sign. He was going to chart his own future, his own course, instead of following Christ. Jesus is that light in a foggy world. It is. The world is foggy. But Jesus is the light. And you can follow him. And the only hope that you have of going to heaven is following Christ. Don't you think it's time to follow Jesus? Isn't it? Some people ask, well, how do I follow Jesus? How do I follow Christ? Well, God's plan is very simple. It is. It's so simple that even young children can comprehend it. Children, third grade, fourth grade, even younger sometimes, can grasp it. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. You can't know what to do unless you hear it. How shall they hear without a preacher? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. We must believe in Christ, as you see. In John 8 and 24, Christ said, if you don't believe that I'm he, that is the Son of God, your future is dim. No way you can go to heaven. You'll be lost, he says. But then we must allow our belief in Christ to take us even beyond that belief, to where we are willing to repent of our sin and to acknowledge Christ and confess our sin before the world. And if a man's not willing to change his life and amend his ways, there's little hope for him. As a matter of fact, there is no hope. And then we must confess our faith in Christ, just as the Ethiopian did in Acts chapter 8 and verse 37. That we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And out of that confession to be immersed or baptized for the remission of our sin. I know people say, I don't understand it. I don't see why it's important. But let me tell you, brethren, if Jesus said it, I want to do it. It doesn't make any difference what I think or how I rationalize. It is what does the Word of God say. It doesn't matter what other churches are teaching. It doesn't matter what your long-lost grandfather or grandmother said. I'm going to tell you, if they went to hell, they wouldn't want you to come there. And Jesus says it's imperative that a man be baptized. Show me in the book of Acts where anyone ever became a Christian without being baptized for the remission of sins and for that purpose. It is declared in the Word of God. And then we must live faithful to Christ. It's not enough to get wet. It's not enough to come up and with your lips confess Christ. If a person's not willing to be baptized and a person's not willing to live faithful unto Him, we must be faithful, serving Him. And if we're erring children of God, the Bible says that we are to repent and come back to Christ, to get right with God. For Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 says that we're to be faithful unto death. And if we sin against God after we become Christians, here's God's answer to all that, folks. It may not be the churches. It may not be the teaching of men, but I'm going to tell you what Christ says. He says if we're willing to acknowledge our sin, He is willing to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. In Acts 8, 22 through 24. Maybe your light has gone out. Just maybe it has. Matter of fact, let me ask you a question. Which represents you up here? Now, you may be here this morning and your light may be out. Because if you're not radiating the influence of Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you something. Your light has gone out. Is it burning? Is it burning bright? Or has it gone out? Only you have the power to turn it on once again. Have you ever thought about this? You know, we take electricity for granted sometimes, don't we? You remember how upset you got the last time the electricity went out? And your lights went out? And everything in your house electrical went out. You remember how upset you got? Have you ever wondered the grief that heaven experiences when we do not let the electric flow of the Holy Spirit of God flow through our lives? Did it ever cross your mind? Jesus is coming someday. He is. The Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 1, He's coming in the clouds. He's coming in the clouds of heaven. And when He comes, you will have made a choice. You will have made a choice to serve Satan, or you will have made a choice to serve God. And when He comes, will you be ready? Ready or not, Jesus will say, "Here I come." And the word of Jesus Christ will judge us in that last day. You will not be judged by what you think or how you deduct or how you reason. You won't be judged by your feelings. The Bible says there's a way that appeareth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. But you will be judged by this word. This word. That's what Christ said in John 12 and 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. And the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now, in light of all of that, if you're not a Christian this morning, would you give your heart and your life to Christ by coming this morning to acknowledge Him, to confess His sweet name with a penitent heart to be baptized for the remission of your sin. Brethren, let me tell you something. I didn't write this book. Never claimed to. Never claimed to interject my opinions over the will of God. I'm only telling you what God says. And as God's spokesman, I'm telling you what He asks you to do. And whether you believe that or not does not circumvent the fact that God will judge you by His word. And that is a decision that you make. Saved or lost? Bright future or dim? It all boils down to whether you follow Christ. I hope this morning that you'll follow Him as we stand.